This last week, I had heard a conversation that some people were having, and in the conversation, they were posing the question. And in that question, they were asking, where is our Lincoln? Where is our Churchill of our day? Where are our leaders? We need leaders. Where is the great leader to lead us into a time where we need change? And I think a lot of us probably feel like, man, you know, this world needs changing. And oftentimes we sit there and we have these conversations and we need somebody. Somebody needs to go do that. Somebody needs to go over there and accomplish these things. Somebody needs to lead. And so we kind of sit there and we wait. And we wait on the world to change, or to someone to go and take the initiative to change it. And so sometimes even in Christian circles, I've heard people say, where's Billy Graham? We need a Billy Graham. Where is the Mother Teresa? So those of you who've been around a little bit on this planet a little bit longer, you probably remember those two names. And those names are like almost every year, they were like on Time Magazine as being influential and people of character and integrity. And it's like, where are our leaders? You know, maybe G.K. Chesterton, writing about 200 years ago, maybe he had some insight, or maybe he was right when he said, you know, the Christian ideal has not been tried and found wanting. In fact, it has been found difficult and truly untried. And what does he mean by that? He means maybe the issue is not so much that, you know, there's this thing called Christianity and it just hasn't worked. Maybe we haven't really understood it. Because even as Christians, we can either be people who kind of stand around and we kind of wait for somebody to go do it. Or we sit there and say, well, maybe, you know what, Christianity is too hard and too difficult. And so maybe what we need to do is we need to bend Jesus Christ to my image and to the way I think the way that things should happen, rather than truly following Jesus Christ. Because the way to change the world, as we've seen through 2,000 years of the movement of Jesus Christ, isn't about a bunch of people waiting around for the leader, the Lincoln, the Churchill, the Billy Graham, the Mother Teresa. Because here's the deal. You and I, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, we already have that leader. There's no reason for waiting for the leader because we already have it. Last week, Caleb mentioned and he talked about maybe in America, maybe we already have all the things that we already really need in Christ Jesus. And it's true, absolutely true. And if you're a Christ follower and you don't believe that, then you don't believe in the sufficiency of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and the changing of humanity. Because that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. And Jesus has been doing it for 2,000 years through grassroots people. Just like you and me, who have just hooked our wagons to him and said, okay, Lord, where are we going? Who we loving today? Who needs to see your clarity? Who needs to see your goodness as we walk through this world? And so today, one of the things that I want us to really understand is this. If you really want to know what the secret to changing the world is, it is simply this. It's just not ignoring the gift. It's not ignoring the gift. Okay, so what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is that God has given us a gift. And we're going to talk about it a little bit more in this message. But there's a gift that he has given us. And oftentimes, what we tend to do is we default to ignoring it. And ignoring it, we take matters into our own hands. We do things the way that we think or should be the best way to go about doing things. Rather than living our lives in light of the beautiful, wonderful gift that God has given us. And giving this beautiful, wonderful gift to other people. Just as somebody, God used somebody to give that gift to us. The secret of the world, to change the world, is that not ignoring the gift. Paul writes this in his letter in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. He says, as God's partners, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then just ignore it. Okay, just ignore it. And sometimes, you know, as Christ followers, we can give our life to Christ. We can accept the gift of eternal life. And then we put that gift on a shelf. We forget about it in our day-to-day lives, and so we just kind of go on task-oriented, or we forget the way that God goes about changing the world, and so we try to figure it out on our own, and we ignore the gift. Or we also know that we have that gift, but we try to give other people something else that's less and far inferior to this gift, and we never really express and give this gift to other people. And so when it comes to this gift, one of the things that's important for us when it comes to changing the world is this important truth, is what is the gift? And this is the gift. The gift is a forever relationship with God and his people that strengthens the hearts of people, that strengthens our hearts. That's the gift. The gift that changes the world is a forever relationship with God and his people that goes about the strengthening and the healing of our hearts. That's the gift that you see all throughout Scripture, all throughout from the beginning of Genesis, and see it all the way out fulfilled, all the way in at Genesis. The gift of life is the gift of a relationship with God forever, in community with his people. And through that, our hearts are strengthened. Because as people made to be loved, we are strengthened by love. At the same time, when we do not experience love or we do not feel loved, we feel the most agitated, the most upset, we feel the most lonely, we feel the most depressed. But when we are immensely loved and we have someone and somebody has our back, we are the strongest we've ever been. That's the gift, a forever relationship with God and his people that strengthens the person's heart. And that's the gift, guys, that changes the world. In fact, when we think about changing the world and being participants with God and changing the world, the first thing that we need to recognize is that this gift is not ignoring the fact that the gift changed your life. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, I probably would, you know, surmise that God's love has had some impact in your life. That if you've seen change in your life, the way that you understand life, see life, the way that you relate to your kids, the way that you relate to your spouse, the way that you relate to your family members, the way that you relate to your enemies, was all changed because you experienced that forever relationship with God the Father and been around a community of other like-minded people that have strengthened your heart in your life. It works. Sometimes we try to change the world with all different things without realizing the thing that has actually changed our lives, which is the good news and grace of Jesus Christ. And obviously, if it changed our lives, Kent, don't you think it could change the lives of other people? See, to understand this gift, we need to go back to chapter 5 for just a little bit here. And to be able to really understand this gift and how this gift has changed your and I's lives. And how then we are to live in that gift and how we're to give that gift away. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 18, just a few sentences before that 2 Corinthians 6, 1. Paul wrote this, "And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ." To understand that the gift that changed your life was the gift of God himself. That God loves you so much that he gives himself to you. He's willing to do the hard work of reconciliation, even if it means becoming like one of us and giving up his life for us. He's that committed to his love for you. And so he says, also, and all of this is a gift from God. What is all of this? It's not just a relationship with him. It's also how that relationship affects our lives. So if we go one sentence before this, he says this. Well, this is what it means. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person, a different person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun. So what is this? What is this old life versus new life? What distinguishes the old life from the new life? Well, Paul answers that just the sentence right before that one. In a couple of sentences before that one, he says, he died for everyone. Jesus died for everyone so that those who receive this new life will what? No longer live for who? themselves. Instead, they will live for who? Christ, who died and was raised for them. In other words, this new life is a complete different orientation, because the old life, the life apart from Christ, the life of living on our own, is really self-centered. We are by nature in our flesh self-centered. When somebody hurts us, we think about ourselves and how we can get the satisfaction of getting revenge, and or if we feel depressed, it's all about how life has given me a hard, you know, a bad turn. And when we think about what I want and my dreams and how I want things to work and how I want this relationship to work, everything at our common nature tends towards ourselves. And here's the deal. When we go into ourselves, guess what happens? Bad stuff happens. Bad stuff happens internally when I live for me. And when I live for me, bad things happen in my relationships, because I begin to not think about other people except for how they make me feel. And that begins to damage those relationships. And so it moves out from an individual, out into relationships, out into communities, and it just starts going out all over the world because of the self-centeredness that we live in. And when we live so self-centered, guess what we do, or we become? We become like a black hole. It's like when you think about what a black hole is, it's like when all light just begins, or all gravity just kind of gets, is everything sucked into this black vortex called self. And when we think about that, though, and we go down that path where everything is just me, it's all about me, it's all about what I want, it's all about what I expect, it's all about all the things that can be for me, okay? Or a couple of things happen. One is, at the very polar sides of the darkness, is I will either kill myself or I will kill other people. One of the two. That's what gravity, self-centered gravity, brings you to. We can either come to a place where we commit suicide and give up our own lives, but when you get to that point, you're probably at that point because you're thinking a lot of yourself, about your pain, about your suffering, about your isolation, about how you feel. When I get depressed and I get angry and I get agitated, I'm thinking there's a lot of me's and I's in my head. I'm not living up to the way I should. Nobody really likes me. I'm a failure. Me, darkness just begins to come up, and darkness will come and it will destroy you. Or the other way around. It's all about me. Everything's about me. I'm willing to destroy relationships. I'm willing to destroy lives in order to get what I want. It's all about me. You know, you always think about wars, and usually a lot of times at the center of a war is somebody who wants to be the king. It's all about them. So there's this I that creates all of this destruction in our lives. Until somebody came along and addressed the issue 2,000 years ago and said, hey, all the eyes are going to kill you. It's going to destroy you. It's going to destroy your relationships. You probably have already felt it and experienced it. So Jesus Christ said, I came for a new way that will bring fullness to your lives, that will bring peace and joy. And the weird thing is, it's not about you. It's a new life that gets you out of yourself, by which then you begin to shine the incredible love and grace of Jesus Christ. You no longer live for themselves, but instead they will live for Christ. Now, why would I want to live for Christ? Because he's the guy who died and was raised for us. And why did he do that? Because he's a self-centered God? No, he is the light of the world, who expressed it through his love for you and me by giving up his life for us. And guess what? It changed your life, I bet. I bet it's impacted you tremendously. And what God is doing in our hearts is he's strengthening our hearts, that pumps the blood of Jesus Christ, that reminds us of the incredible, unconditional, eternal love of God, by which now we go in love. And Paul says, hey, you know what? No matter what happens, no matter what's going on, he says in the sentence right before that, either way, whatever, it's Christ's love that controls us. What does it control you, Paul? Your hearts, your desires, what you want? No. It's the guy who laid down his wants and his rights and all the things that he deserves for me. That is what controls me. That is what changes the world. It's that love that changes your life as well. The other way when we think about changing the world is, and not ignoring the gift, is also not ignoring the fact that the God of the universe is certain that this gift will change the world. If you were to ask God, God, what will change the world? Okay, what do you have to say about the way you think or the way that the world's going to be changed? And simply put, it's exactly what Paul said. You just don't ignore the gift. Don't ignore the gift. You open this gift. You live by the grace of God. You abide in me and in my relationship with you. Strengthen your heart. Then you'll begin to see people and things and situations in a completely different way than the world does. In a way that you will end up going and loving other people the way that I loved you. That is going to change the world. You look out all throughout Scripture. Nowhere in Scripture that it says, hey, all you need is a better education. It'll change the world. There are a lot of intelligently smart people out there who's making lives miserable. It's like, you know what? We just need a platform. We need to be able to speak it out. Well, we've been speaking a lot of stuff out and we've had platforms. So does that mean that necessarily means that people's lives are going to change? And people who have had platforms, do they use those platforms in the love of Jesus Christ for other people? No. Those are tools. They can be used. But those aren't the things that change the world. God has always envisioned that what changes the world is one person who has grabbed onto this gift of secure love forever in the presence of God and just gives it away. And Paul says this back in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 and 2. He says, as God's partners, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then ignore it and then just shelve it. For God says, at just the right time, I heard you. And on the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. In other words, what he's saying is, today is the day to be saviors, not to be judges. We are called to be in this world to save. And how do we save? By giving the gift. Earlier, Shauna mentioned John 3:16, which is a real famous verse. Most people know it. Well, I want you to look at that verse, which is absolutely true, but I also want us to look at it in the context of the very next sentence, the very next thing that comes out of Jesus' mouth when he says those famous words in John 3:16, 17. For this is how God loved the world. How did he love the world? How did he love you and I, sinners, selfish? Always our prayers are mostly, hey, God, this is what I want and this is what I need. And if you don't give me what I want or need, then I'm going to be disappointed in you and I don't really think that you're real, okay? But in light of all of that, he continues to love us. How? Well, he gave his one and only son. So that, why did he do that? So that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. That we can be with him forever and have a reoriented heart. Jesus goes on, he says in verse 17, God sent his son into this world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. You get that? Jesus was sent into this world. When he came 2,000 years ago, he didn't come in this world to judge. You know why? Because this world is already condemned. It's already condemned. We're already judged. This isn't the time for judgment. It's a time of gift giving. It's a time of salvation. Now, I think sometimes we default towards judgment because judging other people is a lot easier than saving the world, is it not? I mean, I can judge the world from my seat at home. If everybody would just do this and everybody would just do that, the world would be changed. Why don't you go out and go and love and serve people in the name of Jesus Christ the way that God showed us to 2,000 years ago? That's too dang hard. It's a lot easier just in here judging people. So we default to that rather than recognizing that we are saviors of the world. God is using us to save the world. We're not saviors of the world. Christ is, but he'd use us to bring us into a reconciled relationship with him. We're not called to be people judge. And not only that, but it's important for us to understand, you know, judgment doesn't change us. I'll guarantee you this. You can beat the crud out of me, verbally abuse me for all my wrongs and all my things, and I might be propelled to do the right thing, but my heart is broken, my heart is hard, and all of those things. But if you come and you love me in the way that Jesus Christ loves me, and you desire for me to win the way that Jesus Christ wants me to win, you will see me flourish. And so, and the same thing will happen to you. That's what we are called to do. We are, if we are to be people who that God uses to change the world, we cannot ignore the fact that this is God's way to change the world. Not only that, but it's also not ignoring the fact that history shows us that this gift changes lives. For 2,000 years, this method has been changing lives in all different places all around the world in all different times for the last 2,000 years. And we see that at the early church. The early church flourished. Flourished. If you go back and you read this letter in 2 Corinthians, one of the reasons why the church didn't, you know, sometimes we think, well, the church flourished because Paul is just incredibly gifted and talented and great leader and all that, blah, 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 blah. You read his own stuff and Paul will say himself, I am horrible at speech, but I'm a pit bull when it comes to giving this gift away. And I'll give it away, 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 and I'll give it away. I'll give it away. There's nothing in this world that'll stop me from giving the grace of Jesus Christ away to a hurt and broken and confused world. There's nothing, because I've experienced and lived by this gift every single day. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 6:3. It says, we live in such a way that no one will stumble because of us, and no one will find fault with our ministry. In everything we do, we show that we are true ministers of God. We patiently endure troubles and hardships and calamities of every kind. And Paul goes on and he says, we have been beaten, put in prison, angry mobs, exhaustion, sleepless nights, without food. And he says, you know what? That all of that is true. I will keep giving that gift away. You know why he does that? You know why? Because Paul was that, go back one verse. Paul was that person that had people beaten. Paul was one of the person that had people put in prison. Paul was part of that angry mob. Paul was a person who created a lot of calamity and troubles in other people's lives. And when he met Jesus Christ on that road, he didn't meet, and to his thankfulness, he didn't meet a judge. He met a Savior who loved him and forgave him, by which he now lives by this gift of love that God has given him. He can endure troubles and calamities and beatings and all of these things because of the love that God has given him. And through that, his empathy and understanding for a confused world. Because he goes on and he says in verse 6, we prove ourselves by our purity, our understanding, our patience, our kindness, our Holy Spirit within us, our sincere love. We faithfully preach truth. God's power is working in us. And we use the weapons of righteousness in the right hand for attack and the left hand for defense. And he goes on, he says, we serve God whether people honor us or despise us, whether they slander us or praise us. We are honest, but they call us imposters. Now, I want you to kind of stop here for a second. How does Paul deal when people call him an imposter? How does Paul deal with when people give him troubles and calamity? How does Paul deal with when people, put him in prison? You know what he does? He gives them all a gift. He loves them. He gives kindness, sincerity of heart, speaks the truth that can bring, understanding to them. And when he says that he comes with understanding, he's not just talking about theological understanding. He's coming with an understanding of, I understand what it's like to be lost from God. And I understand why you're doing this. But I give you something better. And I'll give it like a pit bull until the day I die to give this gift away, because this gift has changed my life. And I know it can change your life as well. Paul goes on in verse 9 and 10 and he says, we are ignored, meh, but we're okay. Why? Because we live by the gift. We live close to death, but we're still alive. We're okay. We have been beaten, but we have not been killed. Our hearts ache, but what? We always have joy. Paul's like the most joyful person on the planet. Why? Because he lives by the gift. I'm loved by God. God loves me. He knows everything about me. He knows all who I was before Christ. He knows my struggles that I have in Christ. And he loves me. And I have eternal life. I'm good. What in this world can throw me off because of that? Because I have everything I already need in this gift. Yeah, my heart aches. Because I see how this brokenness, you know, affects the world and how I've experienced it. It aches me, but I have joy because I live by the gift. But then we see what? He gives this gift away. We are poor. We don't got much money in our pocket or anything like that. But what we do have is something better. We give spiritual riches to others, a forever relationship with their heavenly Father and with a community like this they can belong with and to encourage and support each other. Forever. And it strengthens our hearts, makes us stronger. Not harder hearts, not mushy hearts, but a strong heart that loves well because it's strengthened by the love of Jesus Christ. That's what we give. It's the best thing you can ever give. What Paul is basically saying is this. You know what? What's better than giving away a Bugatti, a Ferrari, is giving the gift that a guy who has a Bugatti and a Ferrari probably wishes he really has. And that is an unconditional love with a relationship that will last forever. We don't have much, but what we do have is the most precious, you know, metal in the world. And that is the love of God in Jesus Christ. We own nothing, yet we have everything. Why? Because we got the gift. We got the gift. And so, when we think about how do we change the world? The secret can just be this. It's give the gift generously. You want to change the world? Give the gift generously. Give what you've already received to other people. If your life has been changed by the grace of God, go give that grace away. If your life has been changed by the realities of Christ and the realities of how we are to live this life to be a hope to other people, go give it away. If you have security of knowing that you have eternity and whatever happens in this world, you're good to go. Give it away generously. Give it away. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about this word generous, and oftentimes it's kind of hooked to the wagon of money. It has absolutely nothing to do really biblically when we talk about it with money. In fact, it's kind of an interesting word that Paul uses here when he uses the word generous. The word generous can also mean sincere. Generous and sincere. And when you look at the way that Paul uses this word, really, he defines it this way. This is what it means to be generous people, people who give the gift away. Generous can be defined as simple, sincere, open heart that is moved on the behalf of another person because you love them. You love them. You will ask for forgiveness because you love them with an open and sincere heart. You'll see reconciliation. You see a person in need. You may give them something financial, but I tell you, the thing that would be nice and wonderful and all that, but what will really change their life is when they receive an open, sincere, simple heart from you that just expresses the love of Jesus Christ. That will change their lives. More than likely, your life have been changed, not because of some guy who's on a platform here who gave a message. your life has probably changed because there's people in your lives who have walked the journey with you through the hard stuff, through the difficult stuff, and they spoke into you, they encouraged you, and hopefully they've really helped your trajectory towards the eternal side of things with Christ. That's probably what strengthened you. You know what changes the world? You and I open-handedly loving the people just right around us. That's what Paul did. Paul says in verse 11 through 13, he says, "Oh, dear Corinthian friends, we have spoken honestly with you and our hearts are open to you. We love you. We'll do anything. The reason why we took those beatings and went to prison and all that, because we want you to have the gift and we will give it to you because we love you. We come to you with our love. There is no lack of love on our part, but you've withheld your love from us. I'm asking you to respond as you were my own children. Open your hearts. Open your hearts. It's the way that changes the world. When we receive the gift, open it up, live by it every single day. Every single day you should be walking this world saying, I am loved by God. And my eternal security is already taken care of. I'm good. God, who is it in my life right now who needs this gift? They need some love. They need some eternal security. They need you. It's been changing people's lives all around the world, all different times for the last 2,000 years. And so as we kind of finish up my time here, one of the things I just want to encourage you guys with is that you may feel like, how in the world can I change the world? There's 7 billion people out there. I don't have the gift sets and the skill sets to do that. Well, you're in good company. Neither do I. But here's the thing. Maybe it's not your and I's job to change the world. Maybe we already have a person who has that job to do that. And his name is Jesus Christ. And maybe what all he's asking us to do is really simply to open up this gift and to live it, to live by it, to enjoy it, and to give it to another weary, lost soul. Because that's really what God is only really calling us to do. You know, where's the Churchill? Where's the Lincoln? Well, we got Jesus Christ. Where's the Billy Graham? Where's the Mother Teresa? We have the person that they followed every single day in our hearts and in our lives. I want us to take a moment because it is hard. It is when we think about change the world. I don't know about you, but it exhausts me. I really, like when I think about changing the world, I just want to get a paper bag and I'm going to blow through it and go, oh. And then every day at the end of the day, I feel like a complete failure because the world hasn't changed. And so really, if you feel that way, you are in good company. Because honestly, we should kind of feel that way. Because we are weak. It's reality. But when we are weak, who's strong? Our God is. And so, I want us to just take a time and a little space here. And I want us just to kind of allow God to speak into our hearts and speak into our lives. And more than likely, he will say to us, I know you're weak. I know you're weak. But you know what? Just watch and pray and know that I am your strength. I'm everything that you need. I'm everything that your family needs. I'm everything that your neighborhood needs. I'm everything that your community needs. I'm everything that your country needs. I'm everything that the world needs. And all you need to do is just give them the gift. All right? Spend some time and let's come to him.